Crenshaw, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Matt Piper. Christmas may be in the rearview, but you may be looking in that same rearview right now, seeing a lot of headlights with those heading home or heading out for New Year's.
Many people escape the winter cold for sunny and warm spots to celebrate the season.
We're the place to be in the winter when it's snowing and cold other places.
That's Miami International Airport spokesman Greg Chin, who says they set some records the past few days.
We averaged from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday almost 190,000 passengers.
But the rush isn't over yet.
We expect a busy weekend this coming weekend and next week, even going into Three Kings Day when a lot of people travel from Latin America.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
On this day after Christmas, blizzard warnings are in effect in South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, and Wyoming, with storm warnings remaining in place for much of the Midwest. Adam Rudd is a meteorologist at KELO-TV in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Conditions, especially the farther west and north you go, the more treacherous it is going to become. A lot of locations seeing multiple inches of snow, including reports over toward Vermilion and Tyndall of half a foot. Sioux Falls officially a little less than an inch. Chamberlain had 8 inches of snow.
U.S. warplanes hit three locations in Iraq connected to a main militia. Our Linda Kenyon tells us why.
President Biden ordered the airstrikes after three U.S. service members were injured in a drone attack in northern Iraq. Military consultant Jeff McCausland with why the president may have responded this way.
This is the first time there's been a report of serious injury to a U.S. service personnel following these kind of attacks. And the first one, where it appears one at least has been critically injured.
These attacks against U.S. service members have increased amid Israel's war against Hamas and U.S. support for Israel. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Now some news about us. We have learned our colleague Tom Foti has died. You've heard his voice here on CBS News Radio for decades.
I'm Tom Foti, and the fallout from his huge election...
Tom has been here at the network since 1998, and he worked every shift imaginable and every shift possible. When we needed Tom Foti, he was there, often taking a nap only to log back on and help with the news of the day in between newscasts. Tom started in the news business back in 1969 with stints at the Associated Press, the New York Daily News, and the radio station 1010 Winds all in that year, a testament to the kind of worker he was. He was just last on the air here at CBS on Thursday.
Checking gasoline prices, they've been inching up a couple of pennies a day. It's now 3.12.
CBS News and news as a whole was in Tom Foti's DNA. Rest in peace, Tom.
This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local Steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STIHLUSA.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans plan to call for an audit of diversity policies and practices across Wisconsin state government agencies next year. That's after negotiating to freeze diversity efforts at the universities of Wisconsin. Democrats call the move purely political.
It's really clear that Speaker Voss is choosing to double down on culture wars instead of addressing the issues that are really facing Wisconsinites.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Yesterday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also broken in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, to name just a few. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Two Wisconsin teams in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers and Marquette Golden Eagles men's basketball teams remain in the AP's top 25 teams in the nation. Marquette fell to the number 10 spot after losing to Providence. The Badgers moving up a spot to number 23. They begin conference play a week from tonight against Iowa. NBA. The Bucks lost to the Knicks 129-122. That snapped a 7-game winning streak. Milwaukee goes across town to play the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. NFL. Strange story at the start of the Packers game Sunday in their win over Carolina. Defensive back Jair Alexander ran onto the field for the coin toss, and even though he wasn't a team captain, told the referees after winning the toss that he wanted the defense on the field instead of saying, "We defer." That could have been costly for Green Bay, having to kick off to start both halves. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I know. That's a big mistake.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower this evening, then some clearing overnight, and a low in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, highs into the low 40s. Then some showers Wednesday night into Thursday, cloudy, breezy, and a high in the low 40s. Right now it's 33.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night, Busted Pencils. December is here. It rolls around, and let me tell you what, Johnny, every music teacher is facing that annual showdown to rock around the Christmas tree or not. It's not just about decking the halls with jolly tunes. It's a cultural tightrope walk. Our guest tonight, she's not a pundit, but she's a punk rocker in the world of educational thought. Increasingly, she's been seeing educators hitting the pause button potentially on Christmas specific tunes. Talk about a Christmas specific tune. Anya, get that keyed up. You want to talk about punk rock and Christmas? Jingle Bells, punk rock. Anya, hit it. Oh, this is one of my favorite, Johnny Lupinacci. Coming all up. Right,
Dash into the snow, and one has up a sleigh. Out of fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Fun and it's a run and sing a sleigh song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, that's probably enough of that. Thank you, Anya. Our guest tonight on Busted Pencils, return guest Nancy Flanagan, music educator extraordinaire, Michigan, blog author, teacher in a strange land. Nancy, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
I am so happy to be here and to have heard that. Because wow.
Hey, come on. A classic Jingle Bells done by the Sex Pistols. Come on. This is Busted Pencils, the punk rock and education show. I had to find it out there. Johnny Lupinacci, what do you think? Bring back memories when you heard that, man?
Oh, yeah. It's a Christmas classic in the punk collection for sure. I like the topic of the show this week. You know, I was kind of steamrolling through finals week and getting all the everything sort of starts to slow down. By slow down, I mean it's like an avalanche on university campuses at the end of the semester. We just get buried in all of the last things to do. And right about that time that we're closing things up, things pick up in the elementary schools and the middle schools and the high schools as they're winding down a week or so after us. So I was just checking in with teachers today and actually having that kind of conversation that aligns to the theme of the show is, you know, how they're all navigating the importance of the holiday season in terms of the diversity of ways that families from around the world and even locally celebrate this time in very different ways. And so how to navigate that, to honor that diversity, but also to have a joyous time and then layer on top of that to celebrate together in times where it's not celebration time for so many people. I mean, we have war and suffering and poverty and stress and all kinds of, you know, almost unlivable conditions all around us. And so, you know, just checking in on those things. But then I started reading for the show today and started following, okay, here's what we're going to talk about. And it's right aligned with that. So it's this very real topic for anyone with kids in schools or is teaching in schools. And it didn't always used to be this way. I mean, it just sort of was always assumed, hey, it's Christmas time. The same way as, hey, it was Thanksgiving time. It's the same way as, hey, it was Columbus Day. You know, we just kind of rolled with what we were told and didn't really dive into or peel back the layers of the onion per se. And so here we are. We have an amazing repeat guest here. And I'm excited to talk about this because it's so real for all these teachers.
No, it's totally right. It's totally real. I mean, and Nancy Flanagan, the blog post again from Teacher in a Strange Land, the problem with jingle bells. Nancy, how about this? Would it be a problem to teach jingle bells using the Sex Pistols?
Not recommended, probably. Okay.
So, well, you know, because I put out some promotions today, and one of the things I kind of put on there is somebody pointed out and said, that's just clickbait, Tim, because I said canceling jingle bells. And they were like, how dare, you know, because that you guys aren't canceling jingle bells. Oh, I don't know, Nancy, are we canceling jingle bells? Okay.
No, no. Actually, in you know, in the many years, you know, I started teaching music and band and choir in the 1970s. And one of my go-to pieces was Jingle Bells because it didn't have any religious, you know, meaning attached to it. And it was kind of a safety song. And it's a great little song if you're teaching beginners, you know, or really little children, because it's a simple tune and they can sing it and they've all heard it and they all know it and they all want to go, ha, ha, ha. You know, that's just hilarious when you're six. And this professor at Boston University, Kina Hamill, put out this research paper saying, hey, you know, this song was sung by minstrels. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's shady and it is shady. But it's kind of like, you know, Thomas Jefferson was shady and Abraham Lincoln was shady and they're still national icons. So then later she changed her mind and said, yeah, I guess we can sing Jingle Bells, but you really should talk about it, which I think is a good point. Everything that you put in front of kids, you need to be able to answer the question of why are we singing this or why are we playing this or what's in it for us? And teachers who decided not to do it, good on them.
You're good with them. So, but I mean, you point out some great things, though, that maybe even just right away is that why is it so often used in one sense of saying, you know, well, it's catchy, it's easy, people know the words, it's associated. It doesn't have the religious overtones that might be, as Johnny was pointing out, you know, we have diverse student populations with multiple religious beliefs and or no religious beliefs. And here you are, this is a holiday. And then, you know, from the music side, I love in the piece, and please check it out, Teacher in a Strange Land, Nancy Flanagan's blog. You point out too that like beginning to teach music to beginning that orchestra, that seventh grade orchestra, that holiday concert, or when I went to school, that Christmas concert, and sitting there as a parent and going, I am so proud of how awful that sounded. but it's because and you use jingle bells very intentionally as a music educator, though, because it's not that it's quote easy, but it's that place where people can kind of move in and you can help them begin that. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, thinking about that part, I mean, is that the first, you know, so I'm a music ed student, I'm thinking about becoming a music teacher, I'm going out to prepare a lesson plan for Nancy Flanagan's classroom, and I'm coming in going, Nancy, I want to teach jingle bells. Tell me what you're going to say to a student teacher who wants to teach Jingle Bells. And if you want to tell what that student teacher what to do, call us 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Jingle Bells. Nancy, new student teacher wants to do it. Advice to them.
Oh, this is the big issue right now. And I am mentoring a couple of first year teachers here in this county, and they're both doing holiday programs, and one has chosen just to do anything but anything that has any winter, Christmas, you know, he's playing number 37 on page 4, you know, and because he just doesn't want to get tangled up with this. And this is something he's heard in his music education classes. And then there's another guy who's putting on a full blown Christmas concert, and he's chosen some, Santa Claus things. And, you know, he's not dabbling in religion, but he was directed by his principal to play songs that parents know. And he said, "What do I do?" I said, "Well, you know, if your principal tells you, you know, we've always had a Christmas concert. This year, you choose carefully, but make people happy, and then as you go along, you can work on this. You can talk to your students about the origins of some of these songs." And where they came from. It's a little easier for bands than it is for choirs or elementary kids, because they have lyrics. And those are often troublesome. Not in Jingle Bells. There's nothing in Jingle Bells that's in any way negative. It's just its history as a tune. And I wouldn't hesitate to program it, but I know people who are drawing that line, and it's a hot topic on social media right now. There are elementary music teachers especially just fighting and arguing about it, and people saying, "Hey, I've been a music teacher for 30 years and I'm closing with Oh Holy Night." And then other people are like, "How are you going to get away with that?" Well, if I had one tip for a new teacher, it would be know your community. You can't be squeezed by an administrator or by parents to play something specifically, but it really does help to know where you're teaching and what the people there have had in the past and how you're going to approach it.
I'm thinking like in a small little rural town, maybe opening up with the Sex Pistols version of Jingle Bells might be a little offensive. Johnny Lupinacci, yes. Let's see, we got 2 minutes. Just throw a couple things in there before we go to break and we'll do some more.
Well, I think this is a great conversation because it, like Lancey shared here and, you know, you brought up, it is something that teachers are talking about, especially music teachers. But not only the music teachers, because they're practicing these in class. I mean, the Christmas caroling, the singing, the music aspect of the holiday season is kind of part of the written, but also the hidden curriculum in schools is a really big one. And so, you know, learning to do different is really important. And I love what Nancy shared. You have to know your community, because as we make changes, we make it together in the community. And so I'm kind of in the middle where I can really understand and respect and have value for a principal that says, "Hey, say, play some songs at the program this year that parents will know." Right? On the other side, you know, play the ones that you also feel comfortable with kids singing and, you know, purporting a message of, you know, unity and diversity in this time of year.
But, you know, and so we're going to do that when we get back.
Layton in Greenfield, Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business. Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tim and Johnny, drinking Bud Light, shopping at Target, and of course, don't forget their pronoun, them. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
And this is Tim and Johnny, and our guest Nancy Flanagan, Busted Pencils. Nancy, what do you think of those new liners there coming in? You know, who knew that two radio show podcast hosts had their own pronoun, them? You know, yeah. There it is, them. That's who they are. They are them. Nancy, though, we're talking about your blog post, Teacher in a Strange Land, The Problem with Jingle Bells. We had a little bit of fun coming into the show, a little bit of punk rock, Sex Pistols moving in. Talking about, though, the idea of saying, no, Jingle Bells isn't, quote, canceled, but there could be something there. And for any listener out there right now who's going, wait a minute, I don't get it. What is upsetting about bobtails and one horse? Is it an open sleigh or an open sleigh? I never knew which one it was in second grade, but it was one of those things. I don't see anything offensive. What in the world could be wrong with Jingle Bells? Nancy Flanagan, give us a little history lesson if you can, or yes, if you will, please. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jingle Bells is a through composed song. It's not a folk song where we can't trace its history back, as a lot of holiday related music is. It was composed by a guy named James Lord Pierpont back in around the time of the Civil War. And Pierpont's family, he had a father and two brothers who were Unitarian ministers and abolitionists. And he grew up in Massachusetts. So, he wasn't a slave owner or anything, but he moved because he had a family to support. He moved to Georgia and became an organist at a Unitarian church down there. And he was there when the Civil War broke out. And so he, at that time, served in the Confederate Army as a clerk for about 3 years. The records are a little murky. And then after that, he continued to write music and to sell it, because that's how he was making his money. He was playing the organ, giving music lessons, and selling his tunes. And that was a bigger deal proportionately back then than selling music is right now, because most homes had pianos, or civilized homes did. So learning to play the piano and singing and, you know, being musically literate was a big deal. And the sleighing songs were very, very popular. And he wrote songs about, you know, what people were doing for fun back then. And he his most famous song is Jingle Bells. There's a long list. If you, you know, go to Wikipedia or one of the sites that I used writing the blog, there's a long list of songs that he wrote, and they all sound really kind of tragic, you know, just not very interesting. And this was his big hit, and he sold lots and lots of copies, and no one ever really paid attention to that. It's not a Christmas song. It was it's a sleighing song. It's a, in the blog, I said, it's kind of the 1867 version of Little Deuce Coupe, you know, it's everybody sang it because it was about going out with your girlfriend in a sleigh.
So
way cool.
And even that might be a problem, though.
Well, no. And yeah, so this Kina Hamill, who discovered that the song was first performed or often performed by minstrel groups back in the late 19th century. There's a lot of music like that, and a lot of it is patently offensive. You know, songs about darkies and things that we today just would never do. I mean, because they're overtly racist. But this song, while it was probably, as far as she could tell, sung at various points by people in blackface or in minstrel shows, those are no longer with us. And some of those songs, things like Dixie and Stephen Foster songs, Old Folks at Home, also have racist language. And the music teachers have been sorting through this. I guess Pierpont, he falls into that category of a person who wrote songs that were sung in, performances that we find questionable today, but, the song has existed past all of that and in a million ways.
Yeah. And so I want to get back to that. We'll go that direction of going, like, where has it come to? We got a caller on the line, though. L.A. Tom, our buddy, L.A. Tom. Tom, you want to do some jingle belling. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tim. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Back in, I don't know. I feel exhausted just for the teachers, to tell you the truth, they got to analyze every little thing that comes their way. It just seems like it's really quite unfair besides teaching the kids. I'm one of those people that whatever it is to get a kid to put their face in a book and read, whatever it is that gets a kid and singing a song, I'm all good for it. Because you know what? Singing and dancing and reading and, all these different things, those are things we want kids to do. And actually the energy alone that is created by singing and dancing is a very, very positive thing. So, just like these people that, on one hand, they'll say, these kids can't read. On the other hand, they're saying, they can't read that's in that book. That's offensive. With the whole, whatever, I'm not going to say their name, give them any type of extra.
Thank you.
But I mean, it's just one of those things that I would think anything that we could encourage our kids to either get involved in reading, singing, dancing, things like that would be a good thing.
I agree with you, Tom, and I'm wondering if this is, though, the point here, too, is to look at this. What Nancy reveals in this blog, though, too, isn't it worth teaching that history of the song, not canceling the song, but now we've got a new layer of depth of understanding, and it's not just, quote, jingle bells, this kind of, culturally ambiguous, ambiguous sung song that just kind of, potentially is, not offensive. It's just jingle bells, or it's about Batman smells and Robin laid an egg and all those other versions of Batman, that you said that. But, I think about this, and Johnny, I see this still too. Has Nancy hit on, though, the potential of going, it's a fun song, it's a great music education, and it's also something great to learn about the composer, the history associated with the composer, the reality of the historical situation in which the song may have been sung at a point. And now even to this point, and I'm thinking, like, truly as a social studies educator here, now it's going to come through. It's like that ability to take the past and put it in today's frame and make those connections. Who knew jingle bells was powerful social studies teaching? I see I Nancy and Johnny. Oh, 30 seconds. Oh, my God. We're almost there. Yeah, let's kind of hold off on that.
Let's come back and hit that because love where you took this, Tim. I love that intersection there of music always having story to it.
Busted pencils, fully leaded. back after the break with some more Jingle Bells.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. says it has downed multiple drones and missiles fired by Houthis over the Red Sea. CBS's David Martin says it comes a day after another announcement from the Pentagon on a U.S. strike in Iraq.
Last night's strike was a direct retaliation for that drone attack earlier in the day, which injured three American servicemen and one of them critically.
Israel intensifies its campaign against Hamas with more airstrikes in Gaza, CBS's Robert Berger reports.
Israel's army chief says the war will continue for many more months. He said that when it comes to dismantling a terrorist group like Hamas, there are, quote, no shortcuts and no magic solutions.
A winter storm pounds part of the northern plains. Chad Hoffman lives in Aurora, Colorado, where they've gotten 8 inches of snow so far.
This isn't a huge deal for us because you can still get around, and our city and state snow removal crews are fantastic.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's job approval in Wisconsin is 42%. He was in Milwaukee last week to try to bring that number up. Congresswoman Gwen Moore speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front.
The cones that they see running around is money, that the apprenticeship that their nephew finally got into is part of what Joe Biden has done.
The president spoke to an audience at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee. The black vote is seen as crucial to winning Wisconsin next year. Gas Buddy says the average price for regular fuel in Wisconsin is $2.72. That's almost 3 cents lower than last week. Meanwhile, the national average price of gasoline has risen almost 3 cents to $3.07 a gallon. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower this evening, then some clearing overnight, and a low in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, highs into the low 40s. Then some showers Wednesday night into Thursday, cloudy, breezy, and a high in the low 40s. Right now it's 33.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Talking Media Education. Radio Network.
Oh, and we're back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, her blog, Teacher in a Strange Land, The Problem with Jingle Bells, L.A. Tom, we appreciated your call. We're going to address it. And so, you know, a couple of different ways we were talking about this over the break, Nancy and Johnny. But so Nancy, does Tom have a point about teachers being tired of every time content comes up? Oh my goodness, I can't do that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the big thing right now. Books, ways, instructional techniques, stories that you tell that enrich, you know, your curriculum. It's a huge, huge deal. And I try really hard when I think and write about education not to be an alarmist. But I think we're at a really terrible point right now where teachers almost can't do anything. there's somebody who wants to backstop everything that they're doing, and it's just not good. There are things that before the break we were talking about things that, you know, people don't know about music. One of the things that I used to teach my students was that the national anthem is set to an old British drinking song. And I would have the words, which don't make a lot of sense to kids in 2023, but it's just a tune. It's a cultural icon. And why would we choose that tune? Well, because it was a tune everybody knew, and we put words to it. And what does that really mean? So I promised I would tell you a story, and it's a story about being a middle school band teacher. And a few years ago, I was working with my students on a tune called A Light in the Window, and it was supposed to be a song that illustrated the Underground Railway and how people looked for a light in the window. And the song near the end quoted the spiritual steal away to Jesus. And I told my students, this is a little quote. It's kind of cool. They took this little hymn tune and stuck, you know, six measures of it in this middle school band piece. And one of my kids raised his hand and he said, Mrs. Flanagan, did slaves believe in Jesus? You know, and why would they believe in Jesus? And then another kid said, if you were enslaved, wouldn't you want to be looking forward to a better world? And of course, I'm just standing on the podium holding my baton, and I'm thinking, okay, here's the lesson. You know, the kids just taught it. They figured out why, you know, what power music has to enlighten people, to give people hope, to be festive, to make people sad. When you go to a funeral, nobody cries until people start singing Amazing Grace. And then, you know, the waterworks happen. It's a powerful, powerful tool. And people have used it for good and for evil for a long time. So it's no wonder that parents want to control it now, or some small segment of parents.
Well, you say, and what they're trying to control, you know, is think about what the way you said that is. The students themselves kind of took over in that story, you said, and taught everything there was to be known. And again, with a reference to Jesus, but not indoctrinating towards Christianity. But again, the history of the song, and I think about that and go, you know, this music, and you say, first of all, or, you know, the show, Busted Pencils, we say we make fun, but it is. it itself, we put punk rock music in there because we very much intentionally are trying to evoke a sense of going like, you know, we want to be a little bit in your face and making you a little bit uncomfortable, God forbid. And, you know, here it is, if this song, but if Jingle Bells, you know, makes you a little uncomfortable when you find out the history, I come back and go, Tom, let's not be worried so much. We appreciate you being worried about tired teachers. How about, though, the empowerment, when you said back to this, the history of this song, the reality that it that I can teach Jingle Bells in the holiday season. And I actually, I think more often than not, most people would, quote, teach Jingle Bells in isolation with no context, no nothing, mm-hmm. except it's a fun song. And here we are now, Nancy, learning and going, look at how relevant it is to learning history. And now even a part of what you just said today, the conversation around what we're allowed to teach and what we're not allowed to teach. What a great example for me as a social studies educator who really comes from the framework of saying, whatever we do, we have to link it to the present moment when we're teaching things about the past. Here's a powerful example. Johnny, I see Johnny getting ready to chime in there, man.
I love where this is going because it's a special moment. I mean, we're going through an awakening. We're in the largest social uprising of all of our lifetime. And sure, it's inspired by generational efforts to draw attention to inequality and to unjust suffering. And the commitment that this generation of teachers, and I say that spanning generations, but people in the profession of teaching, whether they're mentoring at the end of their careers or they're just coming in, there is a moment right now in education where we're really committed to something we've been committed to for a long time, not just knowing about it, but doing something different about it. That's messy. That's hard. And it's exciting when we get to talk about it because we're learning how to do better in schools. And we're and I'm with Nancy. The ways that teachers are backstopped right now, it just feels like there's not a move they can make. And that's not a learning space. Yeah. That's not a space where they can say, hey, we're going to try this. We're going to go with Jingle Bells, but we're also going to teach about the backstories. And we're going to be really open about some of the things that could be put forward, but also that we don't want to continue about certain things. And for me, like Jingle Bells kind of falls right on that line. Right. It's not overtly like we are reciting racist language and terms and the song taking us back to particular moments. However, it's pretty close to it. So the kind of awareness that teachers have talking through that and sharing that every song in the world has a story. Every story is political and cultural. And so we're really teaching this thoughtful, critical awareness that we're also learning to do as teachers, right? So it's a special moment and it's so good to have these conversations and not land immediately on cancel it, shut it down. You know, there's that cultural phrase I grew up with, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, we want to change the bathwater out of racism, of sexism, of hatred and these things. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But there's something there, right, in terms of song, in terms of sharing melodies, in terms of experiencing joy in the eros of being in music with one another that we don't want to throw away in the process. And so, you know, that's what music teachers and teachers in general and hopefully parents listening, like that's the things you're also committed to as we, you know, raise the future citizens of a great country like we live in, right? This is how we learn to be in the mess that is embracing diversity. So I get excited about it and it's hard. I love that we're here advocating for teachers, right? To have that space to also be learners in it, right? And recognize that moment we're in where it's like, hey, it's not one way or the other. It's this, how do we learn together to do differently in thoughtful ways?
I'm going to say it sounds like advocacy for learning, Nancy, as much as anything, right? I mean, this is learning.
Yeah, yeah, it's powerful stuff, but it's also dangerous. And I mean, to some people, you know, the more we open these conversations up, the more judged they feel, or the more panicky they feel that, well, you know, this is dangerous. This may not turn out exactly the way I want it to. I am always amused when parents think that teachers can control students, you know, impressions and thinking. It really is funny because we're just one little slice of all of the things that they run up against musically and socially. And
yeah, I know. It's like, as you point out, it's like, boy, if only we had as much influence sometimes as some of these parent groups are trying to put on us, because you're sitting there going, my goodness, if I had that amount, if I had a fifth, 5% of the power they're saying I have, my classroom would be a lot more managed, and we might actually, I might be sending home more homework or things like that. You know, we just don't be, but it's not because teachers are out of control. It's just, as you said, it's a social setting, and kids bring everything that they live at home, how those are going. You get 20 to 27 to 29 of those people in a classroom with it. And it's a little society of diversity, as Johnny points out, diversity of thought. And as a teacher, though, the moment and remembering what you're supposed to do, we're there to create situations in which students can learn. And I think here what we're saying, there is a lot of magic in being able to allow kids to dig deep and to learn. As you said, Nancy, sometimes even too, they're perfectly fine and may even teach us some things every so often. If we let them run with this, we give them an opportunity. But you know, here we are, we're singing Jingle Bells. It's December. And I know, as I said, put it out there promoting the show today, you know, Jingle Bells canceled, ? Could be like, oh my God, here we go. Now we're canceling Jingle Bells. Or as one person was like, Tim, that's just clickbait. You're just trying to get people to, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, there was probably a little bit of a clickbait there, but is there a potential, and there is a little bit of that history of the teaching side of this, though, Nancy, too, that you did cover in this piece where you said, you know, the person who, quote, first called attention to the potential of this song maybe being, you know, on the offensive side, she herself had a history over time moment of saying, oh, wait, give us a little more on like, you know, the author who did the research.
Yeah, in a subsequent piece, after schools started saying, okay, now we know we're canceling Jingle Bells. And she said, no, don't cancel Jingle Bells. You go ahead and use it, but maybe give a little background to it. So before we wind up this section, I want to do a pitch for the ACLU. They have a whole lot of materials for teachers about what it's okay to do and what it's not okay to do. Just go to their main website and their education. The author who has written a lot of this stuff is a guy named Charles Haynes. And when music teachers are worried about, you know, breaking the law, I send them there, because that's a really, really good resource and really trustworthy information about things that are inappropriate and things that are appropriate. And he makes a lot of suggestions, like, you know, talk this through with your students, see what they think, you know, challenge them to think about whether what they're singing or playing is not good literature. And my other tip would be, always go for good literature. If you are canceling everything except Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, you're not doing a great job being a music educator.
Well, come on. Now that doesn't very speak wisely to the older people when we're running them over with reindeers, you know. I mean, come on. We're not anti-grandmas on this show. Nancy Flanagan, the blog, Teacher in a Strange Land, the problem with Jingle Bells. There's no problem with Jingle Bells. It is an opportunity to do more than just teach a silly song. And yes, the kids are going to say, Batman smells, Robin lays an egg. We know that, but that's part of it. But how about digging in, letting them learn a little bit more? Nancy Flanagan, the problem with Jingle Bells, we appreciate you. Thanks for busting pencils.
Oh, yes.
All you do.
All we do. And when we get back, Johnny and Tim break it down. Busted pencils, back after the break.
This anymore, this is the end for you, my friend. I can't forgive, I won't forget. This is the end for you,
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to previously recorded content.
Tim and Johnny, proud supporters of PB&J, MLB, and of course CRT. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
And it is Busted Pencils. Our guest... Thank you again, Nancy Flanagan. Great conversation. No, we're not canceling Jingle Bells, Johnny DiFranci. Relax, man.
Oh, man.
Nah, you know, and L.A. What? Tom. Hey, there is still the time. I mean, this is where Johnny and I typically break it down. 844-967-2789. Though, you are always welcome to call in at any time, you know, if there is out there. You know, and should we cancel the Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Lays an Egg version? Maybe it's time for that one to go because I'm not sure Batman does really smell.
Well, I mean, and Tim, I mean, the whole cancel thing just, you know, to me gets to be misleading. And someone told you, hey, Tim, you're doing clickbait. You're not really doing clickbait because we really discussed that's really where we're at.
Right.
You know, but the idea of this, like, what we're really getting into is the messiness of and the important commitment we have to every song, every story, everything has a political background to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Hard Thing is, you know, is part of that process that we're committed to as, you know, educators really, really who not only believe in it, but take action towards, you know, a peaceful and socially just community for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds over romanticized, but I mean, it's a democracy. It's a goal here. And when you're committed to that and you have not, that has not been the case historically, and you just kind of move forward with the stuff that's always been there, you're mm-hmm. running the risk of, you know, taking yourself out at the knees or at the feet when you're having those efforts. So I think it's really, I admire that teachers are in that mess right now and talking to each other about it. I love Nancy's blog all the time, but I especially loved it this week because it is what so many, I mean, I started the show saying it's what so many teachers are talking about. Hey, mm-hmm. you're celebrating this moment. It's for so many different cultures an important time of year, right? And it's also mm-hmm. a difficult time. And mm-hmm. it's also a time where, you know, if we go to the depoliticize things a little bit and just into our ecological existence, it's a time of year where we're winding down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And
a lot of us are wintering. You mm-hmm. know, we're in that hemisphere where it's like, whew, let's take a deep breath and let's be in sync with the things around us. It's darker more often right now than it's light.
Right.
And so these are times where our humanness, which is our natural being, is to slow down. So there is a lot happening in schools and classrooms. To not acknowledge that and not be in that mess would be a problem. And so I love hearing that teachers are talking about it. And, you know, we're making jokes about Jingle Bells or Frosty the Snowman or whatever it is, right? And but this is a generative conversation that's very real for teachers to be having.
You know, I'm thinking about this. Producer Anya just gave us a little time there. Producer Anya, what do you think of this conversation about Jingle Bells? You've got a little bit more of another generational look. Is Jingle Bells offensive?
Well, sorry, excuse me. Well, I wasn't planning on talking, so I hadn't cleared my throat. You know, I'm sitting here thinking the phrase cancel and cancel culture, I think the problem is that we use that term to mean consequence a lot of the time. Like when someone says like, oh, this actor got canceled for being inappropriate, it's like, no, that actor had consequences for the decisions he's made. So in this context, it's like, well, you can't really give the song consequences. It's a song. It doesn't care. I think it is important. Yeah, we have to talk about minstrel shows. We have to talk about this history. But I think what we got to do is kind of like we're doing on the show tonight is talk about it. It's not put Jingle Bells in a crate and hide it away. It's like, well, that does nothing for the people who were affected by the cruelty of minstrel shows, which isn't that what we're talking about at that point? Something, are we actually helping the people this is about? Or are we looking for things to be angry about? And that's not saying you guys are doing it, but to say that canceling, the idea of canceling, I think is like, it's not a thing. It's about having consequences, and this song doesn't care if you give it consequences. So we got to talk about the education part like we are.
There we are. And that's what we do every week. Busted Pencils. Yeah. You know, educated educators talking education. That's right. What we're doing all the time. You know, Johnny, though, we're thinking about that as music. And like I said, I do want to draw on the show ourselves, though, too, and saying, like, if you're paying attention over the years that you've been following Busted Pencils, the music that we use is very intentional. You know, it isn't just cool sounding tunes with a little bit of a punk rock edge. We're picking bands because of the intention, you know, Rise Against, Anti-Flag, their statements that they're making, you know, for democracy, pushing against the grain. If you listen to the words of some of the songs that we're playing, go deep. There's a meaning for picking the music that we use. Music is so powerful that it can do that. And then to recognize something, even the realization, something like Jingle Bells, where the potential of going like, really, we're going to get into a conversation about canceling Jingle Bells? No, Anya, we're not canceling Jingle Bells. But wow, what we really did with Jingle Bells tonight was expand it. We made it huge and deep, and we made it an opportunity to do more than just talk about how bad Batman smells and things like that. This, you know, it's deep. Who knew the history of the Civil War and a family? This was in the blog. People didn't even talk about this. The family of the composer. One, the father was in the Union Army. The son was in the Confederate Army. There it is, the Civil War splitting up families. Just like today, depending on what side, what's happening. Somebody pointed out, you know, this past Thanksgiving, I felt like sitting around my aunts and uncles. It was like in a civil war. So the reality is here, we can bring this, you know, we can bring this forward. Johnny Lupinacci, we, you know, got a minute or so left there.
I mean, yeah, we got time, and it's exciting, you know, to really break it down and to have those conversations, whether it's Christmas, holiday time or not. You know, it's really, I mean, we love music here. I mean, it's like Busted Pencils. We love the punk rock edge. And one of the things that, as my whole life has been a mainstay of punk is undeniably political. But ending on a note of all music is political. Every song and experience has a backstory and politics to it. So let's get into it.
That's it. More Busted Pencils next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils.
on Devil Radio 92.7.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weichert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.